This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Former President Jacob Zuma's legal team was back in court yesterday. Zuma's lawyers are squaring off against their counterparts from the Democratic Alliance, the Helen Suzman Foundation, and AfriForum in the Supreme Court of Appeal to battle it out over the Pretoria High Court's December ruling, setting aside the decision to grant the former president medical parole, and in essence sending him back to prison to serve out the rest of his sentence. We've heard and we've seen the arguments that have been made for and against. And of course, in that particular aspect, judgment now is reserved. We speak to the Jacob Zuma Foundation, and we are, and of course, I need to say this also, they are now also concerned about former president's children becoming targets, saying that the persecution of the former president is being extended to his children, including, of course, Duduzile Zuma Sambudla. Okay. To no stranger to Power Perspective, no stranger to Power 98.7, Mzwanele Mani. Welcome, Chief. How are you?
Hi there, Denzel. Sorry, man. My voice is a bit croaky here, recovering from flu. No. Good evening to you and good evening to your listeners.
I could say, Brur, that it could not be the flu. It could be, you know, Wenzeni Uzuma singing all of...
Yes.
You know, if you sing that at very high notes, Chief, and for quite a long time.
Yeah. Oh. I hear you. Yeah.
I thought you would come to the platform singing that particular song.
Yeah, no. I'm vocally wounded.
Mzwanele, are you in a good space, Chief?
Yeah, no, very much so, yeah.
Mm. So let's start. Judgment is reserved and was reserved, and we'll go through all the elements of you know what's being argued in court. But are you hopeful, because there is one step I think one step further than this, which would be the Constitutional Court, depending on how things go. But here we are, judgment reserved. Are you hopeful?
Yeah, no, most definitely, because I mean, if you had looked, just if we were to look at the post of the judges when things started, I think when we started, the judges must have had the normal narrative, which was very nonsensical. Mm. But on presentation of the facts, particularly by Advocate Mpofu SC, I think things changed there, because we're no longer talking as if we're journalists. People are talking as lawyers, quoting verse and chapter of the Act and saying, where is this thing coming from? Because it's very clear that these are right-wing elements that you've mentioned, all of them, actually without fail, all of them, came up with a very shallow argument, which was not really based on law. Mm. You know, without preempting your questions, I mean, just in quick summary, Advocate Pofu was very clear that when Arthur Fraser made this decision, he made it in observance of the law. He quoted at least two sections of the Correctional Services Act, and I would hope that you can Google this Act and put it in front of you so that you can help educate the power listeners that might have been confused by the media narrative. If you go through slowly in this Act, there are two sections that are powerful that Arthur Fraser had mentioned in the initial press statement. Mm. That it's Section 75, subsection 7 of the Correctional Services Act, which actually gives him the power to make this decision in the first place, because the incarcerated person was incarcerated for 24 months or less. All of those for 24 months or less, in terms of that section, this section I can read out for you quickly.
Sure.
It says, National Commissioner may place under correctional supervision a day or day parole or grant parole or medical parole to a sentence offender serving a sentence of incarceration for 24 months or less and prescribe conditions in terms of Section 52. You know, so
sure.
That is the in terms of that, the original power. Here's the law. In terms of the original power, Arthur Fraser has the power. Now, in exercising this power, the thing that they are trying to quiz the rationality of this power on, they actually even use wrong facts. They go to the Act itself, Section 79, Subsection 1 of the Act. They misread this Act. And it's a very simple thing. It's one paragraph. I'll read for you quickly. It says, any sentence offender may be considered for placement on medical parole by, then it lists, by the National Commissioner, there's Arthur Fraser. The Correctional Supervision, there's Arthur Fraser. And Parole Board, or the Minister, as the case may be. Now, let me pause there. You see that what I have read so far, there's nothing here in Section 79 that talks about this thing, this Medical Advisory Board. This Medical Advisory Board is not an authority, it's not a decision maker. There is nothing in the Act here that says a medical medical advisory parole board has got any executive authority. But somehow everybody in the media, everybody is running up and down AfriForum, Helen Suzman, they say you overruled the parole board. It's not the parole board. It's the medical advisory parole that gave the report to Arthur Fraser. So when Arthur Fraser was processing the issue of terminal illness, he had two reports in front of him. The one report which people don't want to talk about, but it was there. The one report was from the medical doctors that were actually examining and had diagnosed President Zuma, Dr. Mafa, for instance. He put the report there. He says the man is terminally ill. He doesn't. The word terminal illness or terminal condition is there in the report, so it's there. And another doctor, again, Dr. Mpati, makes the same thing. I think it changes the wording, but he's got terminal something as well in there. And then comes the parole board, the medical advisory parole board.
Yes.
Make the same mistake. And then they have a contract review. So Arthur Fraser then looks at all of this, and he's got the authority to make the decision. And then he says, well, the one says this, perhaps, in applying his mind, he probably thought a person who actually did the examination would really know better, because the others are just working based on reports and analyzing reports. But their analysis of the reports can really not be, cannot rank higher than the actual medics that actually examined President Zuma and all of that and know his condition. So he looked at that and he took the view that he is terminally ill because the ones that examined him say so, as it were. So he took that and the rest of the other conditions that needed to take into account about risk of not offending again and all of that. He took all of those things to account and then made a decision. So I don't know what is so difficult about this decision.
The reason we think that
The Supreme Court of Appeal will find in our favor is because, number one, when these right wing groups were taking the papers to the North Gauteng High Court to Judge Matojan, they had a redacted doctor's report. Now a court looked at a redacted report and made a conclusion report to say President Zuma, to say the decision was not rational, but they don't have all the full information. How can a court make such a weighty decision, but they don't have full information? The whole issues that were taken into account by Arthur Fraser, which were redacted in the report, the court didn't have that information, but somehow the court took it upon itself to make the decision nonetheless.
So you're confident?
Yeah, so we're saying that court misdirected itself.
Here's a question then. What if you are reading it like that, Dalimpofu understands it like that, you think that the judges are going to understand it like that? What do you think is at play here? What is then being implied if you're saying the Act and the passages are read and it is understood in that particular way, as you would put it, and I'm no lawyer, what then is being implied then? Is it Is it a relationship that then exists between Arthur Fraser and then Jacob Zuma per se that would then be, you know, one that leads to a decision? Is that the rationale that's being applied if the law is the law as you have just stated it?
No, this is just a continuation of persecution of President Zuma. Mm. Nothing else. These right-wing groups who actually want to see President Zuma dead, they just can't live with the fact that President Zuma is alive and is living in his house. The fact that he's got all these restrictions is not enough for them. For them to joy and pop champagne, President Zuma must be in jail. It's actually hate-driven. This thing is vengefulness. It's malice, which was actually started by the Constitutional Court. That court itself, if truth be told, did not have the competence to deal with this matter for a number of reasons. One of them was that those judges, they were very aggrieved because they said President Zuma had disrespected them and all of that. Mm. So you are sitting there with people that were seething with anger. And as you can see with the judgment, a civil contemner, as it was pointed out, should have gotten a civil remedy. But these guys were seething with anger. They even went beyond the prescribed sentence for such a contemner, which is 6 months. They went beyond this. They threw 15 months, which is unprecedented. It just shows how angry they were. So that anger is still reverberating throughout the system. Now, instead of President Zuma spending 15 months in jail and all of that, then this medical thing comes up. Now they said, man, this thing is scuppering the thing. We want to see this man there. We want him out of South Africa, basically, even if he's dead and all of that. That's what they want to do and all of that. So it's really hate-driven. I mean, if you look at the decision of the parole board, for instance, this advisory parole board, they say, no, that condition is stable. But they take away the fact that the reason the condition of President Zuma could look to be stable is because of the basically a life support system that has been plugged into him, because he now has 24/7 doctors. He has all the private hospital kind of facility in the military hospital. You must remember, this is the head of state. So they get 101 things to look after them. Those things, 101 things, do not exist in jail. So if you take President Zuma out of that military hospital, and you take him out of the 24/7 doctors, and you put him into escort prison, you are actually, that stable that you spoke about ends right there. Now, you would think that people that are rational would know that what they are saying is actually nonsensical. Mm. But because they are driven by hate, they are driven by vengefulness, they are driven by malice, they don't even see this.
Sure. Let's take a break. It is 25 minutes past the hour. Moses, I see you on the other side. Mandla and also Jack. And then we are, of course, in conversation with Mzwanele Manyi, who, of course, is the Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson. And we are talking about what was just happening in the court proceedings a few days ago. And, of course, judgment is reserved. And it's all got to do, of course, with, of course, did Fraser break the law when he determined Zuma is terminally ill? And of course, there are various different views on this one, particularly also from the Helen Suzman Foundation, the Democratic Alliance, and of course also AfriForum. But you will see that Mzwanele Mani is saying confidence is on their side. They are hopeful that, you know, this time around it will go in their favor, amongst others also because now we are talking to lawyers and lawyers are talking to each other, and we are not in the journalistic space. And then also quoting some of the aspects of the various acts there. Power Perspective is what you're listening to. And of course, we're in conversation, like I did tell you, we are in conversation with Mzwanele Manyi, Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson. A lot of callers coming on the line. And of course, every time Mzwanele Manyi is here, the callers are here as well. Let's Let's go back to Mzwanele Mani first before we go to the callers, because there's something that I need to clarify. Mzwanele, so many callers wanting to talk to you as always, Brut. But here's, here's something that I picked up here as well. So you've got the lawful, unlawful part that's been contested, and the terminal ill and how that's been defined in one aspect. But there's another aspect where, you know, that's also been contested, where you see it, where people are suggesting he must then, you know, serve his sentence, the remainder of the sentence. Do you see this as two aspects, whether, you know, there's two aspects at the same time being discussed, or are they the same issue but muddled in between? Because on the one hand, I don't really see lawyers for, you know, the Helen Suzman Foundation and or other, you know, arguing so much or as hard as they are the aspect of serving the rest of, you know, the time that needs to be served. What how do you look at those two differentiating aspects within this framework of the case that's happening?
No, look, the fact of the matter is that notwithstanding people's ignorance, I'm talking about these right-wing elements, maybe it's probably not just ignorance, but more than anything else, it's just hate, as it were, because President Zuma, as we speak here and now, is actually serving the sentence. Mm. This is an issue. He is serving the sentence. When you are on parole, we are not on holiday. Mm. I mean, the last time President Zuma could not even attend his own press briefing, this is because he is a prisoner. This is what it is. Mm. He cannot go from one province to the other at will. He cannot leave his house without telling the correctional service person where he's going, etc., etc. So many restrictions that he has. He hasn't got all the liberties that everybody else has.
And that's how I understand parole, yes. Mm.
The man is a prisoner. So the notion that he must go and complete there is just hatred, because he's actually still very much a prisoner, as it were. The reason he is not going there is because in order for him to leave the next day, he has to have the kind of 24/7 medical attention and all the gadgets that hospital has, military one hospital has, and all of that. He must be around all of these things. He must be within easy reach to him, as it were. Now, Correctional Services is on record. This was read in court, where they said, to bring a person with those requirements here, we don't have the wherewithal to keep him alive. You bring him here, it's almost tantamount to sending him to the deathbed. That's what you're doing if you bring him here, because we don't have everything that is required of him. Here in prison, we've got just the basics to keep people alive. But the man with those kinds of complications, we don't have the wherewithal here. So why would then people want to take President Zuma to a situation that has already declared itself incapable of receiving him? Why do you want to send him there? This is why, for me, I just see this thing as just pure hate, just pure vengefulness, and it's just pure malice. Nothing else.
Mzwanele, are you concerned? And this is, of course, you know, President Zuma has the right to privacy, and you know that, of course, you know, will dictate also what kind of information is before the courts. Are you concerned that in the first instance where, you know, the ruling was made, which is now being challenged here, and in this aspect as well, where people don't have insight into those medical, you know, reports specific as to, because President Zuma does have that right to privacy, and the judges have not read the medical reports is terminally ill. Are you concerned that, you know, there's an aspect here that might go against you because they wouldn't understand the detail as much as you're talking to the detail?
No, look, the judges, I think they've been informed by now by Advocate Mbofu, if they were not informed.
Okay.
The first issue is that The person that said President Zuma has got this terminal illness is not your Joe Soap. He's somebody that has got who's taken a Hippocratic oath. Somebody that is registered with the health council, for doctors. So we've got a proper doctor that has done this. It's not just some lay person that has said this. That's number one. So number two, judges by themselves, even if they were to look at that report, they are not likely to be able to understand it the way medical people would understand it. They would either have to take the doctor's word for it or take the doctor's word to review by other doctors, as it were. Now we've got conflicting reports here because this doctor says this. But in fact, actually, if you look at it, you know, as I'm talking to you now, I'm saying maybe it could have been analyzed differently because these other ones that are saying the condition may be stable and all of that, they remove the fact that it's stable because of artificial conditions put on President Zuma, which artificial conditions do not exist in that prison, you know. So if maybe they had thought it through and they understood that what we're dealing with here, we're dealing with a person that is supposed to be taken to a situation where the wherewithal is not there. If they had thought that through, maybe they would have come to the exact same condition, same conclusion, as it were. So indeed, what we have here is a medical opinion that is being contested by people that have not even done the first year at a medical school.
Zonela, I'm going to go to the lines. Let's go to Moses in Bramley. Moses?
Good evening, Denzel. How are you?
I'm good, Moses. How are you, man?
I'm good, but sure. I'm not good.
Sure.
You know, Denzel, it looks like the justice system of South Africa.
Sure.
It's meant for poor people. I'm telling you, if it was Samuel Nemakabani from Chibiliduru village somewhere in Limpopo, he should have completed that 15-month whatever that was given by the court of law.
Yeah.
But now we've got people who are dilly-dallying, who come to the radio, they think South Africans are stupid. With thanks to, because we are still having some organization that will stand for the poor, who will stand and defend the Constitution. Because really, Denzel, if somebody is terminal ill, that person should have died. Like, who's that Shabir Sheikh? Maybe Shabir Sheikh is dead now. He's not playing golf. He's not drinking champagne somewhere in top restaurant. And
would you not argue though, Moses, that different people would be classified differently and different medical, you know, concerns would apply to different people? Would you know, when you start talking about Shabir Sheikh, you know, Jacob Zuma's medical health might be very, very different to Shabir Sheikh's.
Yeah, the thing is, Denzel, this is the work of state capture. Because those who have been there when the state is captured, they are the ones who are authorizing all this nonsense.
Sure, Moses, I have to leave it there. Let's go to Mandla in Pretoria. Mandla?
My brother is unfortunate. Moses needs help. I think vet copies in Pretoria can help him.
Let's
you know,
go
this,
with
this. Let me just say this to you. You know, this hate and of this so-called NGO, the Soros, the 18 of them, your AfriForum, your Helen Suzman and others. We had two President Porter who told them in their eyes that he won't and nothing happened to him. But because white people, these Europeans, which we gave them, you know, in fact, we forgive them in this country because they don't belong here anyway. Europeans belong to Europe. That's number one. Number two, the issue of former President Zuma. One is academic. If you are sentenced 15 months, you don't serve 15 months. And when you are in parole, you are serving your sentence. And in fact, that quarter or half of his sentence, which was illegal, by the way, is already served. So you can't sentence Zuma again and say that he must go and serve the remaining. What rubbish is that?
Sure. Let's go to Jack in Pretoria. Jack?
Hello, Denzel.
I'm good, Jack. How are you, man?
Yeah, the first thing is that your guest mustn't insult the power listeners and say we need education. Eh? We know where universities are, we need education. But as for him, he's still calling Zuma a president. So he needs to be educated that since 2018, the president of this country is Cyril Ramaphosa. And the last point on his qualifications, just ask him and check. He was trying to visit himself at the Department of Ministry of Media Affairs to get a DDG post or a DG post. So he mustn't talk about education because he knows nothing about education. What? So he mustn't insult the power listeners. No, he mustn't do that at all.
He might have been talking about people that were in court and challenging aspects in court, Brur. Because
power listeners. Power listeners. I'm a power FM listener.
But at that point nobody had even called in yet.
No, he says a listener. I was listening, I wasn't calling.
Sure,
I wasn't gonna call if he didn't call me to be educated. I wasn't gonna call because I know there's nothing new from his side.
Sure.
But check his qualification, let him ask him what his qualifications are and why he wanted to visit himself at Department of Ministry of Energy Affairs when he needed a DG post.
Sure. Let's go to Jabu and Flerov.
Denzel.
Yes, sir.
Can you ask your guest there, please, what is feeling if they say the ANC, if they say 9 years wasted?
Yeah.
And Cyril Ramaphosa also is supporting that statement. As a Zuma organization, is belong to who? Is belong to Zuma or is belong to the other parties?
Sure.
The Zuma Foundation.
Sure. Let's go to Lennox in Sasselburg. Lennox.
Evening, Denzel.
Good evening, Brur.
Okay, man. Listen, medical experts.
Yeah.
At the same time, you may not necessarily have to take their reports for what they are or to be what it is.
Yeah,
medical reports are contestable,
mm.
and for the mere fact that those people, as medically learned as they are, they can err as much as the Jacob Zuma Foundation thinks that the High Court has erred in reaching its decision.
Mm.
But then my question to Jimmy would be,
sure.
The reduction
Mzwanele,
report,
Mzwanele, yes.
Mzwanele, that's it. Yeah, the redacted report that is talking about that the judges haven't seen, is that the redacted report that was supposed to have been submitted to court by defense or by the prosecution?
Sure. Let's leave it there, Lennox. I have to go to Sunny Boy. Sunny Boy, Chief.
Good evening.
Let
me just get to the point here.
Yeah.
You see, we've got a problem here in South Africa where we are too much divided.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a president. We've got an absent president, number one. And then number two, I'll be going to all these organizations that we're talking about. Because if we had a working president, we wouldn't be having these problems that we've got today. We've got a serious problem as a country.
Sunny Boy, how does the president enter into that? Make the connection for me, Chief.
No, the connection is if we've got a president that is working for the people,
uh-huh.
we wouldn't be having these things. Whereby a president will serve his authority. That this department is failing, department is progressing. So the all departments that you are talking about,
sure.
that the president is in charge of, they are failing us. I mean, how can you have such organization that appease even the state? They're opposing the state itself. So now if you sit down, you look at all these organizations that you're talking about,
uh-huh.
Helen Suzerain Foundation, whatever you name
it. Forum and the DA, yes?
They are not for a democracy of South Africa. They are just showing us they've got the money. They can do whatever they want to do.
Sunny Boy, I'm going to leave it there. Let's go to Jan. I've got to round up my conversations now, Jan.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Denzel.
It's a pleasure, Brur.
I'm going to mention, you know, when they say somebody smoked his own socks.
Uh-huh.
I think Mzwandile smoked his own socks. Let him not come here in public space and narrate as if Msholozi medical situation, it's so special.
Tell us why, bro.
My question is one, how many people that were arrested before Msholozi that have been denied parole and they are criminally ill for quite a long time? Then we've been asking this question. It doesn't matter the merits of who is the medical expert into whatever. If he comes here and tells us about the machines that Msholozi needs to go with, let's put 24 hours of a camera on Msholozi and see if he needs those things because of he's relaxing at home.
Sure. Jan, I have to leave it there. Stembiso. Hello, Stembiso.
Hi, good evening.
Hello, how are you? Every time there's an issue around Durban or KZN, urine, right? I love it. I really do love it.
Well, I call on other matters as well.
Yes, we need to talk. We need to talk more often. Yes. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you. Sure.
And this is a matter of national importance.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Yes.
So President Zuma is president of the whole country.
Mm.
Okay. Okay. So, like, from a humanist perspective,
sure.
As a black person, woman, I feel very hurt and humiliated where I see Umsholozi in court, in his state. He looks like my grandfather, who passed on many years ago. And when I see him in that state, I see my grandfather being humiliated.
And that's from a humanitarian aspect?
That's a humanitarian, and the blackness and the African perspective.
Sure.
And actually, I think the hate that is surrounding Umsholozi is not just the hate to Umsholozi, it's hatred to black people, when you look at where this is coming from. You know, and I want us as black people like to go deep and look at how long are we going to condone this, and what does this actually mean? Because I think we are humiliated as a race through Umsholozi. And then the second, I have a question for Udada Umzwanele, because I'm confused about these doctors. Because initially I thought Umsholozi has a doctor of the army, right? The military doctor.
He would naturally have one, and he would still have one.
Yes, yeah. And now, in this whole thing, there was a report that came from him and then these other doctors. And now the question is, whose report is paramount? Is it the NPA doctor, some private doctor they sourced from somewhere, or the reports of the doctors, the military, are the ones that we should be considering and the ones that should be... If you can explain that, because it's confusing.
Stimbiso, that is such an important question, actually. Let's go back. Thank you for that. Let's go back to Mzwanele. Mzwanele, mixed bag of stuff there. Absolutely.
I've got them all. Let's not waste time.
Let's go for them.
Let me start with this last one. There is no report more paramount than the other. This is the issue. Because what you have, what we have in this particular situation, we've got a report from the military hospital. These are doctors. These are government doctors, by the way.
Yes.
It's not like private doctors of President Zuma. It's doctors that were doing their job.
Yeah.
And without President Zuma asking them, they looked at the situation and them dealing with their own consciences and their own oaths of office took a view that this man should not go back there. He'll die if he goes back there because he's got this and this and this and this condition.
Sure.
As it were. I don't know the details of that condition, of that condition, as it were. And indeed, there's a conflicting report and all of that. But when Arthur Fraser looked at all of this in front of him, he looked at the reasons of even this conflicting report of this advisory panel board, and he saw that they are not taking into account the fact that the what gives them a peace of mind is this parole advisory parole board. What gives them a peace of mind does not exist in prison. Therefore, this peace of mind is short-lived, because by the time he gets to prison, all these things that they think create stability will not be there. And then he took the view that, well, it's not sustainable to go with their view. He took the view that he thought is defendable, as it were. So we can tick a box there. That's what happened there in that situation. Now, I want to also just thank some of your viewers have just confirmed something to me by default. You see, Denzel, when people attack you personally, then you must know that they've run through substance, as it were. Because I've given you so much substance, I've read from the act itself. Now, because they don't have facts to counter this, they decide to insult me personally. It's fine. Let's deal with the issue of qualifications. I've got NQF level 7 qualification. That's what I have. The position I had applied for, you know, when you were DG before 2015, all you had to have is NQF 7 level qualification, which is what I had. So I then applied for this other position at some point, and then by that time they had revised the requirements to NQF level 8. So I don't have NQF level 8. So that's why I couldn't get appointed into that position. So there's nothing sinister, really, about that. So that's it. But I just thought that...
And you are not under the microscope here, Mzwanele. It's okay. The topic is.
It's okay to always give this information because I've got nothing to hide,
sure.
As it were. But we can pass by there.
Mm.
Then there was a question about the nine wasted years. I think the nine wasted years thing, it just, from where we sit as a foundation, when we look at the nine wasted years, we think actually this is misunderstood, because if you look at the President Zuma's achievements in these nine wasted years, it's just unbelievable. The guy built two universities, increased lifespan of people, having come back from that AIDS era that had killed 300,000 people and all of that. There are so many achievements.
Mm.
So the nine wasted years, in our analysis, is actually indeed nine wasted years by those that wanted to loot the state now.
Mm.
If you look at the level of looting that we've had in this administration, it's just unbelievable.
Mm.
I mean, even today, it's a struggle to say the 500 billion that we spoke about during COVID times, what really happened to that 500 billion and all that? So if you look at the number of municipalities that are under administration as we speak, because of the looting that is happening in municipalities, is just unreal. If you look at the AG's report, even on national departments, the amount of irregular expenditure is amazing.
But I could say, Mzwanele, that when Cyril Ramaphosa said nine wasted years, he wasn't talking about the achievements Jacob Zuma had in mind.
Well, it's nine wasted years for the people that wanted to loot. I mean, even that wanted to loot, and they wasted 9 years that they could have looted. Now they are in here, they are looting like there's no tomorrow. This is how the nine wasted years should be read. It's nine wasted years that they could have looted. I mean, imagine. I mean, just think how quickly these guys cleaned up 500 billion. How quickly did they clean that up? 500 billion, boom, gone.
Mm.
You know, really, it's almost like making up for lost time, as it were.
I've never heard it put like that, Mzwanele, but that's a first.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Mm.
So they really wasted 9 years, so we must give it to them. It is 9 years. They really wanted to loot, but President Zuma stopped them for 9 years. So when he went, they said, good God, we wasted 9 years. We could have looted this. Now let's get on with it. And look at now what's happening. The state-owned enterprises are collapsing like you've never seen. They are all being devalued so that they can be sold for next to nothing. You see, so this sixth administration has been an administration that is characterized by looting. Everything is collapsing. The rail lines are all gone. It's a total mess in this sixth administration. Ramaphosa has already destroyed this country, truth be told. So indeed, these people couldn't wait to ravage this country. They waited 9 years for the mess that they're creating now. So that's what the 9 years is all about,
sure,
in our view.
Sure.
So let's move on. On the redacted report, the redacted report is these right-wing groups that took this redacted report and they gave it to court. And they now, the court sat there and the court says, well, because we don't have this information is redacted, therefore we don't see how Arthur Fraser arrived at his decision, and therefore his decision is irrational and therefore is unlawful. And all of that. Now, Advocate Mpofu was very clear that the onus to get the right information to give to the court is for the people that were making the accusations. They should have compelled these doctors to make this information available, even if they had some kind of a closed session with the judges and all of that, so that it doesn't become public if it was necessary to make an informed decision. So basically, Matojane, that judge, made an uninformed decision because he had a redacted report, and he made damning conclusions based on the redacted report. So that is the issue there. Lastly, there was another one about, okay, this other person is saying how many people, I don't know how many people denied parole. Each case is treated on its own merit. You can't generalize on these things. I don't even know that. When it says parole, it differentiates between a normal parole and a medical parole and all of that.
Mm.
So as to why the others were denied and all of that, I have no idea. but each and every case is treated in its own merit. And if there are people who should have, we should be having statistics now of people denied medical parole but died the next day, as it were. If those were genuine, I'm not aware of a report that said here are a number of people who were denied medical reports, and as a result of that denial, they subsequently died. I think that chap that called must produce that report to show that they were unfairly denied this medical report.
Mswanele, would you? That's dealing with the questions. I want to also just deal shortly also with the element where, you know, the children now are also said to be investigated. But I have to ask you this question before we get there.
Yeah.
Would you be happy, and when I say you, I particularly mean the team around former President Jacob Zuma, would you be happy with a compromise situation where they rule that, you know, Arthur Fraser might have erred, but that the president doesn't need to serve the rest of his term in a prison cell, and that parole actually is parole?
No, we would not be happy with that, because that would be just trying to... There's no compromise. They're not trying to make a deal here with anybody. Scratch my back, I scratch your back. Mm-hmm. These people must just learn to be honest and interpret the law as it should be. If Arthur Fraser said, I acted in terms of Section 75, Subsection 7, read with Section 79, Subsection 1, if that's what he says, they must find fault with that. We're not here to make them happy. We're not here to say, let's create a win-win situation. No. We are here to say law must take its course, and we're arguing based on the law, and they're arguing based on some kind of deals and wanting to get something out of this. We're not interested in that. We're interested in rule of law. We're interested in lawfulness. We don't want deals here.
What's your take, Mswanele, as we end the conversation? What's your take on the Hawks confirming that they are actually probing and they mention her by name, Duduzile Zuma's involvement, of course, in, and this is alleged involvement, but the way they talk about it is involved in, you know, the July unrest that we did witness. What is your take, and what is...
Let's quote them properly, because I saw the quotation. That a guy that was mentioned from the Hawks that was talking about this.
Yes.
Said that...
He's the KZN head of the Hawks.
Yeah.
Yes.
That guy, he said Duduzile's name came up from one of the submissions that were made by someone.
The DA.
And he said something that was actually quite wishy-washy about... She's not quite the focus of the investigation, but... you know, a lot of very iffy stuff, as it were. But the bottom line is that what Duduzile tweeted in there, I saw somebody on Twitter actually was showing me stuff. Duduzile tweeted after the events were done. She would comment after the events. Now, the people that were being picked up here were people that were alleged to have incited. Now, I don't know how you incite things after the fact, because if you can go through her tweets, she would find a truck burning or something and say, we see you. And I don't even know why is we see you on its own an inciting term, as it were. And how does it incite you when the truck is burned already? You know, so there is no rationale to be bringing her into this thing at all, whatsoever. I mean, if you also look at the people that were actually doing the looting, the profile of those people, and looking at where they were picked up, the profile of those people, these are poor people that were hungry, that did not go and burn police stations and any of the government institutions. These were people that were hungry. They went to go and get groceries for free at these shops, these people. Now, how do you say, who said these people, they all had smartphones, they all had data? And also, if you also think about the load shedding, their phones were fully charged. Who has made that research? And they had enough literacy to do the only tweets in English. They had enough literacy and all of that. Can you connect all those dots and say, and therefore, when she said, we see you, got them to jump and go to Jablani, checkers to go and loot the Jablani checkers from just saying we see you.
What's at play?
How do we go from we see you to breaking and I mean really it's just not making sense.
What's at play, Mswanele?
What's at play here is that this is persecution of President Zuma. They know that President Zuma loves his children. And if you want to, now that they've failed to destroy him politically, they have failed to destroy him through the jail, now they're getting into his children so that they can destroy him emotionally. This is what it's about. They want to destroy them, and they hate President Zuma with a passion. So anything they can do to destroy him, they will do. And this is what they're busy with. There's absolutely no basis to even be talking to Duzile about this. Absolutely no basis.
Sure. The KZN new leadership suggests, and they've taken a resolution that, you know, the former President Jacob Zuma should not be ostracized and treated like an orphan. Has there been any advance from national ANC to say, you know, former President Jacob Zuma, we see the kind of issues you are dealing with, and, you know, from our part, we either support you emotionally or financially and or either politically in the kind of journey that he has been, you know, traveling in the courts?
Well, look, firstly, I can't speak on behalf of those people, but just from my own observation, having been to Nkandla, having been to various courts, I've never seen anybody around there. The only person really that Thuli House that had shown any level of compassion, to be honest, is the late Comrade Jesse. She's the one that from time to time she would even reach out even to me to say I must convey her regards to President Zuma and all that. So apart from that, I haven't got my experience. In fact, the only thing I have on record here is the NEC of the ANC, which is public knowledge, where they issued a directive that people should not go and support President Zuma in his court appearances. That is a formal position that is public. I haven't learned this from anyone. I've read it in the newspaper. I can give it to you if you need. It's out there that they issued out that misguided directive. And we are quite happy that the guys in KZN have seen through the shallowness of that, the vindictiveness of that, the factionalism embedded in that, and they have managed to persuade the NEC to understand that as long as things happen in KZN, they in KZN are going to do things differently. So we really applaud the NEC in KZN for taking that bold and progressive decision.
Mzwana Lemani, thank you for the conversation over the last hour. Thank you so much. That, of course, is the Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson, Mzwana Lemani.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.